Chapter 25, Sleeping Your Way to Productivity. Takeaway. Although cutting back on sleep saves you time, any amount of sleep you lose below the amount your body requires is not worth the productivity cost. For every hour of sleep you miss out on, you lose at least 2 hours of productivity. The costs associated with not getting enough sleep are that great. The apocalypse is nigh. Believe it or not, there is a zombie apocalypse happening right now. If you look outside your window, you'll see people who are the walking dead. They can't concentrate, remember much, drive safely, or get through the day with enough energy or focus. They drone through the day mindlessly on autopilot. This phenomenon is becoming so rampant that the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention has labeled it an epidemic. These zombies even cause 80,000 automobile accidents every year, all right under our noses. You might even be one of them. But unlike the zombies from the movies, these zombies don't hunger for human flesh. Well, some of them might, but who am I to judge? They hunger for something that's much more precious to them. Sleep. In the United States, about half of the population is walking around right now with some form of sleep deprivation. According to Gallup, 40% of Americans get less than the recommended 7 to 9 hours every night. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention have labeled this lack of sleep, quote, a public health epidemic, end quote, because of the huge health and performance costs associated with not getting enough sleep. Sleep deprivation costs these zombies dearly, especially when you look at the connection between sleep and productivity. Although the connection between nutrition and exercise and productivity is complex, the connection between productivity and sleep is simple. Sleep is a way of exchanging your time for energy. The more sleep you get, up to the recommended 7 to 9 hours, the more energy you'll have the next day. And the exchange rate is pretty damn good. I probably don't have to go too deep into the science behind the reason skimping on sleep affects performance. Chances are you've already experienced them firsthand at some point in your life. Not getting enough sleep or getting poor quality sleep leads you to make more mistakes. It affects your mood, ability to focus, and how you tackle problems, learn, and remember. And it negatively impacts your concentration, working memory, and mathematical reasoning abilities. This chapter belongs in one of the focus sections of the book as much as it belongs in this one. The costs of not getting enough sleep are that significant. Lacking sleep can also speed up the downward energy spiral I mentioned in the water and coffee chapter. When you miss out on sleep, you work less efficiently and with less energy, so tasks take longer, which means you have even less time for sleep the following night. When you add a bad diet and little exercise into the mix, your energy levels and productivity can spiral out of control pretty quickly. During my project, I came up with a simple rule to live by for sleep and productivity. For every hour of sleep I missed out on, I lost 2 hours of productivity. This rule has no scientific backing whatsoever. From what I've experienced, the negative effects can be even greater. But as far as pseudoscientific rules go, I think this is a pretty good one. Everyone is wired differently, requires a different amount of sleep, responds differently to sleep deprivation, and is motivated differently when they are sleep deprived. But from what I've found, 2 hours might even be on the conservative side. Up at 5:30. In hindsight, it's almost kind of funny how so many of my productivity experiments involved putting myself through hell in the name of understanding productivity. There were a few really fun experiments, like becoming a total slob for a week, watching 70 hours of TED Talks, and taking a 3-hour-long afternoon siesta every day. But at the same time, so many of the others were experiments I had to slog through. It took only 25 chapters, but I finally get to talk about the most unpleasant experiment of the bunch, waking up at 5:30 every morning. When I first set out to wake up at 5:30 every morning, I tried to shoehorn the habit into my life at the start of my project and really had no idea what the heck I was doing. For starters, I didn't plan how I would make the change in the slightest. Instead of chipping away at the bundle of habits that surrounded when I woke up and went to bed, I used up all my willpower trying to make a huge change in my life, and I fell flat on my face. I failed to reward myself when I woke up early, define any cues to wake up early, or work to overcome the resistance I had to the ritual, all essential for making changes to habits. And maybe most important, I didn't approach the ritual with an ounce of deliberateness. Because of this, I failed repeatedly. I even wrote an article about a month into my project titled, "So Far, I've Mostly Failed at Waking Up at 5:30," which chronicled my struggles in detail. Things were looking pretty bad. But then I took a step back to approach the ritual with more deliberateness and made a plan for how to work it into my life. As strange as this might sound coming from me, at first I didn't look at any articles or research on how I could work the habit into my life or plan how I could be smart about it. I simply forced myself to wake up at 5:30 every morning, which meant I would often miss out on an hour or more of sleep, which seriously affected my productivity the next day. A lot of days, I wouldn't even make it to noon without needing a nap, and many mornings, I presented myself with a tough choice. Either sleep in and fail, or get up and not have enough energy and focus to get through the day. I often chose the latter, and the experiment became pretty tough to sustain in the long term. It's hard to form new habit pathways when you punish your brain for making them. About a month into the experiment, I became fed up with failing at the experiment. That's when I finally stepped back to consider what I was doing wrong. Chipping away once again. When I stepped back to make a plan for how to work the habit into my life, I realized what time I woke up didn't matter one bit. What mattered was what time I went to bed. And that was the thing I had to chip away at. This is something important to keep in mind when it comes to getting enough sleep. The key to getting enough sleep isn't to sleep in. Not many people have the luxury of being able to wake up whenever they want, and though it would be nice if we were all entrepreneurs who had control over our schedules, most of us have a relatively set routine of arriving at work. What we do have control over is what time we head to bed. To get enough sleep, going to bed at the right time is the key. It took another 2 months to work at my nighttime routine and integrate the habit into my life, but after I finally realized that trying to force the routine into my life wasn't working, I made a plan to make enough incremental improvements to my routine to solidify an early morning wake-up ritual. Setting aside the fact that I wasn't programmed to be an early riser, these will work for you, regardless of when you're built to wake up, since they all revolve around getting to bed at a decent time. Here's what I found worked better than anything else. Create a nighttime ritual. If your target bedtime is 9 p.m., like mine was, it's pretty hard to force yourself to start getting ready for bed at 8:45 when you're in the middle of something. Creating a nighttime ritual will help you plan and become more deliberate about getting a good night's sleep. I recommend picking a very specific time to head to bed and planning out when you'll start your ritual to ease out of the day. Don't be afraid to have some fun with it. Your nighttime routine should be custom built to be both relaxing and meaningful to you and let you ease out of the day and into the next one. I worked meditation, reflection time, and more into mine. Expose yourself to less blue light. Believe it or not, I found this hard to believe at first, the more blue light you expose yourself to before you sleep, the worse your sleep quality will be. Light that sits in the blue wavelength has been proven to inhibit melatonin production, a chemical in your body and brain that helps you sleep. To combat this, I recommend a nightly electronic shutoff ritual, where you shut off your electronics 2 to 3 hours before bed. This also helps you switch off your autopilot switch and begin slowing down. I also own a pair of blue-blocking sunglasses, which I wear whenever I make an exception and use electronics late at night, and I've surprisingly found them to make a big difference in my sleep quality. So has science. One study found that participants who wore the glasses slept 50% better and were 40% happier when they woke up. You can also download an app called Flux on your computer that color shifts your computer display to blast less blue light at you. Just get Flux.com. Things might look a bit funny at first, but you'll sleep way better. Exposing yourself to more natural light during the day has also been shown to help you sleep and also boost your productivity. One study found that when call center employees sat near a window, they processed calls 12% faster than everyone else. Don't be afraid to nap. One of the more fun experiments I did, even though I didn't learn as much from it, was taking a 3-hour-long Spanish-style afternoon siesta for 3 weeks, where I took a long break in the afternoon to nap, eat, and socialize before working again later into the evening. Surprisingly, in addition to seeing the importance of taking breaks, which I'll talk about in the next chapter, I discovered the profound productivity benefits of napping. Like sleep, napping has been shown to boost your focus, accuracy, creativity, decision-making skills, and ultimately, your productivity. For the amount of time it takes you to walk to the coffee shop and back, you can get the same energy boost with a nap without the crash afterward. Napping at work can be a bit strange, though I've had some coworkers in the past who managed to make it work, but if I ever work in a traditional office environment again, you bet I'll do all I can to grab a bit of shut-eye whenever I need a mental boost. If you have the freedom to do so, taking a nap in the middle of the workday is one of the best ways to get a quick jolt of energy and productivity. Stop drinking caffeine 8 to 14 hours before you sleep. Again, caffeine takes about 8 to 14 hours to begin to leave your system and can severely hurt your sleep quality and productivity the next day when you don't plan to stop drinking it in time. Think of your bedroom as a cave. The American Academy of Sleep Medicine recommends, quote, thinking of a bedroom as a cave. It should be cool, quiet, and dark, end quote. But above all else, it should be thermally neutral, meaning that your body, quote, doesn't have to do anything to create heat, shiver, or shed heat, sweat, to compensate for being too cold or warm, end quote. I value my time more than most people, but sleep is something I simply won't compromise on. And since my early wake-up experiment, I haven't. Compromising sleep so you have more time to get work done simply isn't worth the productivity cost. And you won't even have a net gain in productivity because your tasks will take longer when you're sleep deprived. You'll have less energy and focus to bring to them, and you'll make more mistakes that will take more time to fix. When you cut back on sleep, you always lose more time than you gain. It doesn't matter when you wake up. Over the course of my project, I stumbled upon a number of articles written by productivity gurus about why waking up early is fantastic for your productivity. But the truth is that this simply isn't true. Studies show that what time you wake up has no impact whatsoever on your socioeconomic standing, cognitive performance, or health. As far as your productivity is concerned, it's what you do with your time after you wake up, and whether you got enough sleep in the first place, that makes the difference. Looking back, I realized that waking up early is one of those pieces of urban myth productivity advice that is simply flat out wrong. That's not to say that it won't work for you, because it might, but everyone's wired differently. If you have a family and rising early lets you have some quiet planning time before their day starts, or you're wired to be an early riser, the ritual may work for you. But there are just as many people who won't benefit from an early wake-up ritual. It's not that there's a perfect wake-up time. It's about what the best wake-up time is for you. Energy. A lot of people find themselves with more tasks on their list than they have time for. One of the first things they compromise is their energy. To free up time to try to get more done, they begin to order more takeout, caffeinate to insane levels, cut back on exercise, or work later hours and compromise on sleep. All short-term sacrifices that lead to more productivity in the short run, but less productivity in the long run. I've fallen into most of these traps, a couple even during my project. The truth is that I value my time and productivity so much that I would have dropped the tactics I've covered here a long time ago if they didn't work. They're hard, and they take valuable time and willpower away from other things, but they pay off in the end. When you eat properly, you'll have enough glucose in your brain to bring more energy and focus to your work. When you drink caffeinated, alcoholic, and sugary beverages intelligently, or not at all, your energy levels won't roller coaster throughout the day, and your productivity will stay steady. When you exercise more, you'll have more energy and focus to do good work and feel less stressed out. And when you get enough sleep, you'll work far more efficiently and won't feel like a zombie all day. Sleep is one of the best and simplest ways of exchanging your time for energy. The sleeping challenge. Time required, 5 minutes. Energy and focus required, 7 out of 10. Value, 9 out of 10. Fun, 9 out of 10. What you'll get out of it. You'll save time because you'll be able to expend more energy instead of time on your work, which will let you work more efficiently. You'll also experience more mental clarity, concentration, short-term memory, and problem-solving skills, and make fewer mistakes. My challenge for you this chapter is to reflect on whether you're getting enough sleep each night, and if you're not, make a plan to rectify that. A good place to start is to ask yourself whether you feel the need to catch up on sleep over the weekend. If you do, chances are you aren't getting enough sleep during the week, and you need to invest in a bedtime ritual to head to bed by a reasonable time. As far as challenges go, this one is small, but the productivity costs of not getting enough sleep can be massive. If you need to form a new bedtime ritual, it helps to pick a very specific target time you want to be in bed, and then work backward from that time to plan your bedtime ritual. Watch out for how much unnatural blue light you expose yourself to, how much caffeine you drink up to 10 hours before heading to bed, and whether your sleeping environment is cool and comfortable. Although cutting back on sleep saves you time, any time you save below the amount your body requires is not worth the productivity cost. Remember, for every hour of sleep you miss out on, you lose at least 2 hours of productivity.